in Amos, 8th chapter, it tells us this. It's God speaking to Amos. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." You know, sometimes as I get up here before you, it may seem like I'm in a rut and I have the same theme over and over and over, as though I was not able to exhaust the information that the Bible has on any particular subject. During my Bible reading in the Old Testament, I came across this short passage, which I just read to you from Amos. And it reminded me about some of the things that Solomon said, when he said that there is nothing new under the sun. And there isn't. Whatever we go through, somebody else before us has been through it. And history seems to repeat itself over and over and over because we don't learn from it. And this is sort of a situation like that. Any time that I get up here to share a message with you, it needs to be relevant. Because if it's not, it's of no interest to you. And so that's a challenge that presents itself each week. If and we have a mixed congregation. If you were a plumber or a teacher, or you know, if you're a believer, you want to hear a message from God's word, but it needs to be relevant. So we're going to try and do that this morning, because relevance has to do with the time that we are living in. And we are living, as Paul told Timothy, we are living in perilous times. And it may be more perilous than you have even imagined. But as I look at the situation that this nation finds itself in, as well as the people of this nation, it actually tends to frighten me a little bit. It's sort of a situation, I just want to get out of this life alive. But let's ask the Lord to help us to be relevant this morning, and for us to see what is really going on, that we might be prepared to do whatever the Lord might want us to do. Father, as we come to Thee, as we open Your word, again, accept Your Holy Spirit, help us to understand, and accept He work in our hearts and work in our minds. We will miss what You are directing us towards. So, Father, we would ask that Your Holy Spirit will work freely here this morning, that Your word be proclaimed truthfully. Father, that it be relevant to each of our lives. Father, that we might gain from it, that it might help prepare us for the week that we are about to enter. And Father, we will praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think might grieve the Father most? You ever thought about that? What in all of our lives might grieve God the most? Would it not be the rejection of His word? Would it not be the unfulfilling of His purpose for us? God went to great lengths to give us His word. Men were chosen millennia ago to write under the direction of God's Holy Spirit. And so they wrote exactly what God wanted them. God had prepared them to write. He had given them experience. Each one of us have had different experiences in our lives, and so we would understand His word looking at it from a little different aspect. But He oversaw the writing of His word. He oversaw the translating of it. He oversaw the choosing and pulling out from all the things that were written exactly what He wanted to comprise His word in the way of books and the authors. He loved us so much that He wanted us, each one of us, to have His thoughts and commandments in our own language. And so He moved the hearts of men in particular to commit to writing His will for us. The Apostle Peter wrote in his second epistle, 2 Peter 1:19-20, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know, we have in our possession, in what we call the Holy Bible, the complete Word of God. There is nothing to add to it. There is nothing that should be taken away from it. What we have is the Word of God. Now, I read some verses from Amos this morning about the famine that was taking place in Amos's day. And a famine wasn't food, it wasn't water. It was the Word of God. And the title that I gave to my message for this morning is a question, really. Are we in, or are we headed for a famine? Think about that for a minute. God has given us His word. And since He gave us His word, and it was finally complete in the 3rd or 4th centuries, when they selected what books God intended for us to have, again under the leading of God's Holy Spirit, we have had the complete Word of God. The history of the written Word is quite complex as to how it has gotten to us, and most of you have a copy in your laps right now. There are places where they do not have that. But the history of the written word has been been variable. There was a time when only men of a specific knowledge were able to have a Bible. There was a time when the church, and at that time it was the Roman Catholic Church, decided what the Bible said. And if a person had one single page in their possession, they could be put to death. There was a time like that. Spanish Inquisition was one of those times. There was a time when the church, which was the Catholic Church at that time, would burn people at the stake for attempting to read and understand God's word. Yeah. And it may be hard to believe, but there was a time when just having this book laying on your desk, if you were a teacher, that you could be fired. And that was in the United States. And that time is now. So this book that we have in our possession, I'm concerned there may be a famine coming. As long as we are faithful to the Lord, it won't come. But there is a time when we may have to pay a price. Could we be entering a time when our opening verses might reoccur, that a famine would occur? Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." You know, there are people today in various levels of governmental authority that think and will tell you that it is against the law to read this book in public. They're wrong. They're wrong. The early founders of our country built the Constitution on the Word of God. And yet today there are those who would try and deny it. What actually happened, and they would try and deny people having access to the Word of God. The case of someone stating that the Constitution separates church and state is an interesting one. What they're claiming is that the Bible is supposed to be separated from the government and have no part in it. That's not true. The state was separated from the church, so it could not influence the beliefs of the church or the practice of belief, of faith, according to the dictates of our conscience. That is the only separation that exists. But they have been telling the same lie over and over and over. And there are those in our country today who believe it. That there is no place for, I'm going to use this word religion, and I don't like that. There's no place for faith in our country. If you were to take a gospel track, and hand it to a college student today in one of the state schools, the odds are very good that this will be the first time that they have ever read the Word of God. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? But that's the truth. You see, three generations ago, they took the Bible out of school. And for three generations, not 3 years, not even 10 years, for three generations, students have been told, oh, you can't have the Bible in school. You can't have a Bible study in school. And that's not true. And there are organizations such as Christian Law Association and others that are battling to make it possible for students to study the Word of God in school. But you see, there are those who do not want this book in school because, why would they not want it? Because they would have to be accountable for their actions, for what they were doing that was against the philosophy of the Word. They claim that the Constitution denies it, that there's a separation between church and state and state and church. Let me read you the First Amendment. That's the part of this that they are referring to. Our Constitution was established, but there were still questions in many of the early forefathers' minds. And so they wrote a Bill of Rights to accomplish or to be a part of the Constitution, and it was amendments. It was set up as amendments to the Constitution. Let me read the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I don't see separation of church and state in that. We have a right to speak the Word of God. We have a right to hand out gospel tracts. But we may have to battle for that right. We may have to pay a price for that right. Because right now there are places throughout this country where it is against the law for you to have a Bible study in your home. Folks, it's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to demand that we be a righteous nation, that we live by the laws that God has given us. Throughout His communication with man, God's Word, God has told man what God expects of man. God has told man how man can come into a relationship with God and how that relationship can change a man's life. It has changed most of your lives, if not all of them. And yet, there are people who do not want you to be able to exercise the freedom of your conscience and tell others about this wonderful thing that has happened. You just don't understand how excited I am that hopefully within the next week or two, we're going to have the Word of God out here on the highway. And 40,000 people or more a day are going to be able to read this Word of God as they pass this church. Not just a single verse, but many verses. And if they're sitting out here for 2 or 3 minutes in the parking lot that is called getting to work and getting home, think of what we can communicate to them from God's Word. Religion, faith, is protected. And the source of faith is the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So if we put the Word of God out here, imagine how it might affect some of the people that are driving by. I sat down last night. The Felbers were over here. By the way, we've got a ping pong table back there, and we've got some other activities back there for any of you if you want to come in here in the evening and enjoy each other. Let me know and we arrange it. Remember, we did vote to have a family night once a month, and so we'll start it off and we'll get that family night going. But just imagine how God will use His Word to change the hearts of this nation. What are we supposed to do with our enemies? Love them. Love them. And what can we do if we love them? We can pray for them. We can share the Word of God with them, even though they don't want to hear it. Share the Word of God, because it is God's Word. It's not my Word. It's not your Word. It's God's Word that has power. And folks, we want to begin to think we are going to avert a famine. Amos had a famine in his day. And we are headed in that general direction as a nation. If we don't get busy and start sowing some seed, why don't things grow? Never get planted. So we've got a job. We need to be planting seed. And we were talking about last week as we had our business meeting, that we were talking about goals. There's a box in the back corner of the auditorium right now that has 3,000 of these God's Simple Plan of Salvation gospel tracts. 3,000 in English and 500 in Spanish. Be sure and put some in your, ladies, in your purses, men, in your pockets. Make sure that you have the Word of God to sow. Wherever you are. I've been to Washington. So has my wife. So have many of you. You've walked through the Capitol building. You've been in the Hall of Statues and some of the other places that they'll let the public go. One thing you will notice is that there is scripture over doors. There's scripture on walls. Even the Supreme Court building and room where the judges meet has the Ten Commandments written on the wall. And here they are telling us that we can't display the Ten Commandments. They'd have to destroy most of Washington. That's how important they felt it, our forefathers felt that it was. You know, I've been thinking about what's really going on. And one of the things that I have suddenly come to realize is that there are those in this world that do not want the influence of God's Word in anybody's life. You're a problem. You're a problem. There are those who think you don't have a right to be here. That's not what God expects. You know, they said they cut prayer out of the schools. They say you can't pray before ball games and things. And that's wrong. You can. And I'd like to see them stop a student from praying before they take a very important final that their grade depends upon. We've got to be more, what's the word, engaged. Now, there are three generations since they started telling the lie that the Bible is constitutionally forbidden. And many people believe it. There are many people in this country who have never read the Bible. Never. I mentioned a gospel tract, you know, give somebody a gospel tract. That may be the first time that they see the Word of God. And God has said some things about his word. He said, it shall never return to him void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which he sent it forth. And so, folks, we have a job. I would love to have to reorder tracts again in about a year's time. Wouldn't that be something? 3,000 people with the Word of God in their hand, perhaps for the first time, telling them how to be saved, telling them how to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a lot to say about his word, and it's important that we be aware of it. Of course, there's Psalm 119, 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so that's a good reason for us, you and I, to be hiding God's word in our hearts. But it's also a reason that we should be giving out God's word so that others might not sin against God, that others might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people, and I'm meeting more and more of them as I get, well, as I have more birthdays. I won't say as I get older, because that might affect some of us here. But as I have birthdays, more and more, I'm running into people who say they've never sinned. And they really believe that, because they've never read the book. And so they don't know what sin is. I know it was very difficult when Connie and I were living in Turkey to talk to the Turks about sin because they had no concept of it. And it's just like if you're going to try and lead someone to Christ and that someone says they've never sinned and they really believe that, how can they get saved? You got to get them lost first. That may sound funny, but it's true. And that comes only from one place, from the Word. So we have got to get busy, folks, getting the Word out. Because the Bible is thought of as not relevant, truth is not important, and it's becoming less and less a part of normal political activity. And I'm not picking on any particular political party or philosophy. It's getting that way across the board. Today, it means nothing for a politician to lie. They do this in order to achieve their unethical goals. It doesn't matter who they hurt or what the consequences might be. Many political people lie to achieve their desires. And you might even say that they are allergic to the Bible because of what it is, God's truth. God gave us His holy word to guide everyone through life. And because of the false teaching, many people don't understand the importance of God's word. The Bible reader understands because of verses like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. The Bible is profitable for doctrine or for teaching. And what does it teach us? It teaches us about God, and it directs us to a more perfect relationship to Him. It's a way that we might be filled and understand His love, the joy, the peace that the Holy Spirit brings. You don't find that at Walmart. You don't even find it at Macy's or Penny's. There's only one place, only one, God's Word. So it's profitable. It can be very profitable. We just have to accept it. And we have to share it with the world. It says it's profitable for reproof, and that's showing us where we have erred and gone astray. It's profitable for bringing us back to in line with God's will for us. That's what correction's all about. It's only through the Word of God that we learn about Jesus and what He did to redeem us from our sin. That's the only place. Without the teachings or doctrines of the Bible, we couldn't be saved. You have to have God's Word to be saved. You have to believe God's Word to be saved. And if you've never read it, how can you know? Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And what's the only book in the world that teaches us that? The Bible. So folks, I want us to be known as a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-living church. Now, the church is not just, it's not a building. It has nothing to do with a building. The church is us, each one of you. And so this is what I'm wanting for you, but it doesn't matter what I want. I can't change hearts. I can't move hearts. God can. And He's the one who needs to do that. And so we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. There are places in the world where they cannot have a Bible. There are places in the world where they do not have a Bible. And our missionaries go in there and they share the Word of God, and it is just words. They have to start at the very beginning and teach them who God is. Then they have to, one of the main things that missionaries do if they go to a new area is they have to get the Bible translated into the language of the people. You and I don't have to do that. You and I live right here in America. We already have it translated in our language. So why not reach out. Every time we meet a new person, why don't we share with them what God wants us to? In practice, there are certain segments of our government that are at war with us. I've been telling you for 3.5 years now, we are at war. We need to know who the enemy is. And we need to defeat the enemy, not with bullets, but with love and with prayer. By being close to God. Our enemy cannot abide the truth, and so they want nothing to do personally with Jesus. Because of what he says in the Bible, John 14:16, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No political party is immune to those who want to destroy the authority of God's word. It's not just a different philosophy that we are battling. It's the power of evil that is attempting to maintain its position of authority and control over all of us. The Bible itself tells us in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, folks, we need to defend this book. And we will do it on our knees and on our feet. Don't let anyone tell you you cannot quote this book anywhere in this nation. Don't let anyone tell you you cannot read this book anywhere in the nation. Don't let anyone tell you that what we find in God's word is the truth. People, we have the truth. We have the power behind us, the power of God. Let's put it to work. And let's see what we can do this year and this year to come to promote this book and to get many people to believe this book and read it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made your word to live in our hearts. We ask, Father, that you will use us, each one of us, to promote your will among the people we know. Father, we know that it is your will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Father, use each one of us. We have sung songs like, I am weak, but you are strong. So, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit working through us, may we be your servants. May we see people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this year to come. May we rejoice with the angels in heaven each time a sinner trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go ahead.